This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 5:05 p.m. and we're going to kick things off with our first story. We've been talking about a principal who sexually abused 9 of his students in a TAFE school that was operating illegally. Now, following that, yesterday there were reports that Federal Territories Minister Khalid Abdul Samad had said that unregistered TAFE centres would be closed down and the minister would not afford TAFE centres special treatment, instead mooting stricter rules for centres that double up as boarding schools.
Dewan Bandaraya Kuala Lumpur DBKL akan menutup semua pusat tahfiz yang didapati tidak berdaftar dengan pihak berkuasa dan beroperasi secara haram. Menurut Menteri Wilayah Khalid Abdul Samad, setiap pusat tahfiz perlu berdaftar dengan DBKL dan Jabatan Agama Islam Wilayah Persekutuan Jawi.
So that was a report from TV1, and we talked about it on the show yesterday as well. But today, he's denied those reports, clarifying instead that the ministry will allow a grace period up until the end of the year, December 31st, for operators of unregistered centres to register with DBKL as well as the Federal Territories Islamic Religious Department, or JAWI.
Right. So, and I quote, his statement reads, "The Federal Territories Ministry has decided to make it compulsory for all TAFE centres to be registered and to ensure the safety, welfare and education of students in a proper state. In line with the decision, the ministry will cooperate with JAWI to get these centres registered."
Now, safety is hugely important.
Yes.
There's been that picture circulating of a TAFE centre that is in less than ideal conditions. There was, of course, the fire. And today, Khalid explained that DBKL will be working with the Fire and Rescue Department as well as the Naga National Berhad to ensure that safety standards at the centres are met, while JAWI will oversee the curriculum and student development.
The ministry also said that they're going to consider assisting certain centres to achieve the required standards before they are allowed to be registered, and urged operators of these TAFE centres to cooperate and achieve these objectives for the sake of the children's safety and academic well-being. Here now is Khalid Samad with more.
Do they want all this fly-by-night TAFEs to exist yang langsung tak ikut apa-apa peraturan dan sebagainya? So it's better to have them registered. They may not fulfill all our requirements, tapi we will help them towards achieving that. Tapi at least we know they are there. We know how many students they have. We know who's the teachers. We know who's the management. We know what facilities they have and what risks there are.
That was Khalid Samad, Federal Territories Minister. And I suppose while this isn't as satisfying a headline as, oh, we're going to close them all down, it is still a move in the right direction.
Yes, absolutely. I think this is probably necessary as well, because for the longest time, no one even broached the subject of conforming to specific standards, right? And maybe we should give them a chance to register and meet those aforementioned standards.
Well, that's exactly it. I think that, as we've been talking about things like the plastic straw ban, for
yes.
example, and there have been a lot of listeners chiming in to say basically, well, you can't just start a ban, you know, and not give people time to catch up to that, not give an adjustment period. And so I suppose having this grace period between now and the end of the year to get things up to muster,
correct,
to get yourselves registered, I think that's a good move rather than saying we're shutting you down, that's it.
Also, it gives parents also time to, you know, keep an eye out on these centres mm-hmm. and know exactly what they're getting themselves into, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Moving on to our next story, there's now a contender in the Port Dickson by-elections, a new contender, mind you. We've already got Anwar Ibrahim and Stevie Chan, but now PAS said that it would contest. Here is past President Abdul Hadi Awang talking to the press about the party's decision.
Walaupun kita tak setuju Pilihan Raya buat segera-gera, tapi kita tak boleh matikan demokrasi. Tak mahu membazir tanpa kerja. Jadi kita buat kerja lah. Kita buat kerja, sukarelanya untuk melatih pendukung-pendukung kita, melihat kepada respon daripada semua pihak, menandakan tak mustahil boleh menang. Tidak mudah menang, tapi tak mustahil.
So the party has decided to contest because it believes in democracy and wanted to keep it alive. And also, it's not going to be an easy win, but it's not impossible, I'm quoting. And the candidate is going to be announced a little later today.
Right. So reporters also asked him about PAS's expectations, because they only won around 6,600 votes in GE14 out of 75,000 votes in that seat, right? But Hadi said that the party is inspired by its performance in the recent Sri Sathya by-election. And there was, to quote him, a wave of support. People like the wave lah.
So what that wave means in numbers, they had twice as many voters in the recent Seri Setia by-election as compared to GE14, and that this rising support, he says, demonstrated the people's true feelings about the Pakatan-led government.
Yes, Hari Awang is well known for his exhaustive surveys on what the people want. A few days ago, Barisan Nasional announced that it would boycott the Port Dickson by-election because UMNO President Ahmad Zahid Hamidi said that it was a sham, right? The cost to it would take to contest would be better spent elsewhere, and that a by-election should only be called upon on the event of an MP's death and not to further the quote-unquote ambitions of certain individuals.
So we did speak with Bridget Welsh, Professor of Political Science at John Cabot University, and this was what she had to say about the by-election and about support for Anwar.
Yes, Anwar has a lot of supporters, and I think that you're going to see many people come out. He's been part of the Reformasi movement for many years and has sacrificed, and many people feel a sense of empathy, and many people support some of his policies that he's articulated over the years, especially those that are concerned with issues of affirmative action and issues of opening up the political system. Anwar has made important sacrifices to open up Malaysia's political system. At the same time, I think the signals that have been sent since May have been, for many, have been mixed, and for others, disturbing in terms of the lack of respect of the democratic process and the willingness to be sort of sitting down and making deals with different political actors. And I think there is a sense that Anwar has a problem of trust among large sections of the electorate. And this is in part as a result of the demonization of him by multiple actors within UMNO over time, and also some of his actions since May. And I think the way that he's going in is not really helping to address this trust deficit that he faces. Pakatan Harapan government, I think, will be seen as something different. And that's where voters are assessing those who are actually in office and how their performance is. And I don't think this by-election has as much to do about Pakatan Harapan's government performance, but more where Pakatan Harapan will move in the future and whether or not it will be stable post this election.
All right, so campaigning for the Port Dickson by-election begins this Saturday. That's nomination day. It might turn out to be a four-cornered fight. We've got Anwar, the past candidate, independent Stevie Chan, and possibly a candidate from Parti Rakyat Malaysia if they come through in the end. It's going to be an interesting one to watch.
Everybody's going to be watching it. I mean, this
is a huge
one.
Well, it's the supposed future Prime Minister of Malaysia.
In a four-cornered
in
fight.
In a four-cornered fight, mind you. It's going to be exciting. And we're going to go on to our next story of the day.
But before we do, we wanted to ask you a very quick question.
Simple one.
Very simple. Do you believe honesty is truly the best policy? And if you do, do you actually practice honesty? Be honest with us. Give us a call. That number is 77-332-900. Now on to the story.
Yeah, you raised it as a pertinent point, right? Because honesty maybe the best policy, but being honest and actually honest when it counts can be pretty tough.
You want answers!
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Iconic. That's right. Iconic. Jack Nicholson said it best. People aren't always able to handle the brutal, honest truth, or so we think. And that's why most of us are terrified of telling people around us what we truly think or feel. It's never a good feeling having to be the one that has to tell your best friend or your colleague that they're being selfish or they're not measuring up in some way.
So honesty, however, is a central tenet in many moral philosophies, right? Religions, cultural codes, it is spelt out. Intellectually, we also believe honesty is good and we want to know the truth about ourselves and not just the world around us. And if we don't know our strengths and weaknesses, we can't actually improve.
And I mean, we know all this.
We know, right?
We know. Yeah. It's built into us from childhood. We're told this over and over again. But nevertheless, the terror of actually telling someone unpleasant things still remains. Especially because we might be trained to be polite instead of honest.
What ultimately separates the polite from the frank person isn't really a knowledge of etiquette. It's not really about what knife to use at a formal dinner, when to say please or thank you, or how to word a wedding invitation. It comes down to a contrasting set of beliefs about human nature. The polite and the frank person behave differently, chiefly because they see the world in highly divergent ways.
So that was a clip from the folks at the School of Life in a video that tackles the question of whether it's better to be polite or Frank, right?
And researchers at the University of Chicago Booth School of Business also wanted to figure out why we're so afraid of telling the truth. So they conducted a study aptly titled You Can Handle the Truth, Mispredicting the Consequences of Honest Communication.
Yeah, in the study, they actually explored the actual and predicted consequences of honesty in everyday life. The researchers conducted three experiments in which participants were asked to be more honest with everyone in their lives over the course of 3 days or to engage in a specific honest conversation they'd been avoiding, sharing negative feedback with a close relational partner. After these experiments, participants and the people with whom they were honest were asked about the consequences of their honesty.
I'm going to be very upfront and say this is a personal nightmare of mine.
No, this is the worst possible thing.
This is not a study I would have participated in. No. Anyway, in all three studies, the researchers found that people had significantly mispredicted the consequences of honesty. Their results suggest that people actually routinely misunderstand how others will react to honesty because they fundamentally misunderstand how people react to honesty in general.
Yeah, because people, there's this general assumption that everyone's going to react negatively towards increased honesty, right? And that would be distressing and harmful to relationships. But according to the study, honesty is much more enjoyable and less harmful for relationships than people anticipate. I'm not too sure about this. Now, in fact, they found that focusing on honesty was no less enjoyable and no more harmful than normal communication or communication that focuses on kindness.
There are no studies in the world that can convince me of this. I don't know why. Here's another clip from the School of Life that explains how we form these assumptions about honesty.
Without quite noticing it, we may be sticking with a very unfortunate habit that was formed, understandably, to deal with problems that actually belong to another past era. We can afford to be bolder. We're stronger now, and others are stronger than we might imagine. Most people can actually take some stiff news, and if they really can't, we can walk away. Put yourself in the shoes of those you're afraid of. Is it really so nice to be lied to or not told what matters? People need to know the bad news to fix it. We can endure the risk of being disliked in the name of a cleansing confrontation. We should go through mental exercises to practice an inner resilience around communication. I may be sacked, but I can find another job. They may not like me here, but there'll be other places where I can find friends. What I feel is not always bad or strange. It deserves to be heard. We have to tell ourselves helpful, important things that we fail to hear from others sufficiently loudly early on. You're going to be okay, whatever happens next. I will love you, even if the news is challenging.
I just want to start a YouTube channel where everyone speaks like that.
It's called the School of Life.
I know,
it's
but
done.
We need a Malaysian one. We just need a Malaysian one. It's just so creepy.
Some might say awesome and educational.
And
but
comforting?
You can,
no.
Yes. Anyway, the key when it comes to honesty seems to lie in delivering that honesty in more palatable ways, like clearly stating good intentions before delivering difficult or critical information. And the research suggests that the more you practice honesty, the more you'll find that the predictions you have about the negative consequences to be wrong.
So feedback is crucial. After dropping all of these truth bombs, it's good to have a conversation afterwards so you can understand whether you were too harsh or too indirect, and this concept, giving feedback about feedback, is one of the easiest ways to get better. This will actually help you gauge whether your honesty is being received well and help you improve your delivery moving forward. Now, this is a common practice, or it needs to be a common practice, especially in the workplace, let alone in families and among friends, right? But in the workplace, this kind of interaction, this kind of feedback is absolutely crucial. If not, everyone's just going to kind of stifle everything up and simmer in a corner.
I agree, but I have to be completely honest and say that complete honesty, actually, in this sense, in the sense that this research is suggesting, it doesn't come naturally to me, and I'm immensely uncomfortable with it. I am extremely conflict avoidant, which is not to say that I'm not honest. I tell people how I feel, but if I think it will lead to conflict, I will do almost anything to avoid that.
Yeah, no, I think a lot of, actually, I don't think you're alone in that, Lynn. I think a lot of Malaysians are quite averse to that kind of confrontation or even those kind of conversations, right? It's something we've actually been taught to avoid.
Yeah, and I do think that it gets built up in your head before you actually, I mean, this research suggests that practice is a good thing and that the more you practice it, I suppose, the less your brain tells you this is going to all end, you know, terribly.
Do you ever play with people when they try to be honest with you and then you overreact just for fun?
Never. Never, because I fear it so deeply.
It's a fun thing to do.
I mean, yeah. So for me, this research suggests it and supports it. I don't think I'm ready. I mean, let us know.
We want to know what you think.
Yeah.
Are you honest all the time?
And is honesty the best policy? Are you comfortable with honesty? Or are you like me, super conflict avoidant and, you know, rather happy about it?
Also, call us and tell us under which circumstances it's completely okay to lie. 7733-2900 is the number to call. We want to know when you lie and why you do it.
And we will not judge, I promise.
We promise. You can give a fake name if it makes you feel better, okay? All right, we've got some more music coming your way on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.